And welcome to Focus on the Delaware Valley. I'm Laura Lewis, and with us today from the Delaware Department of Health and Social Services, we have Allison Lang. She is a trainer educator in the Tobacco Prevention and Control Program that is part of the Office of Public Health. And again, I love the titles there. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
Let's start with, I think we can all guess what the Tobacco Prevention and Control Program is for the state, but do you want to give us a little, the elevator speech? What is it in a nutshell?
We're a very small program, and as a trainer educator, I cover the whole state. I'm the only trainer educator assigned to this program, which means I have to run up and down the highway educating people about the consequences of tobacco. Our overall vision is to make Delaware a nicotine-free state. And then we have five goals that we want to achieve. And whenever I do a presentation, especially, I always ask people to help me do my job. I can't share my paycheck with them, but since I can't be everywhere and I can't talk to all 800,000 people in Delaware, I usually ask people to help us prevent the initiation of smoking, which is one of our goals, to also help people with quitting and increase their quitting attempts. We want to also continue to decrease exposure to smoke, secondhand smoke, and vaping aerosol as well. And then the two other goals we have are now to improve the inequities around smoking, especially since there are some target populations or specific populations that have some inequities in terms of the access to products and services. And then lastly, we want to continue to initiate and implement policies that help decrease the accessibility and also raise the leadership and participation of people in our industry to continue to help us reduce smoking.
Knocking off, though, that last one, I know that Delaware has been at the forefront of restricting access to smoking products to young people. Is that enough?
Well, it isn't, but we're glad to say the last policy we really initiated, we're already seeing some good results with that. And that was a T21, where we raised the age of smoking or purchasing of tobacco products went from 18 to 21, because research shows that most people don't usually start smoking after the age of 21. And since we have a lot of kids who are 18 and still in high school, they were able to access it and then supply products to their friends. So already that has been a great decrease. And because my agency also partners with various agencies, such as the American Lung Association, those types of policies are working for us in collaboration with those with partners like that.
Well, let's talk about those 800,000 Delawareans right now. Are we smoking and vaping and using other products more or less than the rest of the country, and more or less in relationship to like 10 years ago? Or is this a moving target? You stomp on one head and then the hydra grows another and it's some other form?
You hit the nail on the head, Laura. That's exactly how it works. We were seeing, prior to the popularity of vaping or Juul, I would say more specifically, because they really revolutionized the vaping industry. But prior to that, we were actually seeing a decrease of smoking rates among youth and adults, more with youth, which is even better, because I started smoking at the age of 14 and didn't stop the first time until I was in my 40s. So if you can, as I usually tell people, if you don't start something, you won't get nothing. You don't have anything to stop. So we were seeing a decrease, and then all of a sudden Juul came along in 2015 and really took us by surprise, I should actually say. They had started marketing their product to young people before we even knew what was going on, because they had taken advantage of social media. And us old turtles are a little slow. And but more importantly, Juul not only came up with a sleek, technically advanced product in terms of what it looked like, but you could personalize it, what they call rapping. You could personalize it. And then they had their own language. So for 2 or 3 years, we were asking kids if they were vaping, and they would say no, because they were Juuling. You know, we weren't even communicating on the same level. And then it turns out Juul, between 2016 and 2019, they had 75% of the market among vaping products. And they had a higher concentration of nicotine in their products. So they were out there promoting it, telling people it was safer, and also providing more nicotine to make people, or young people especially, more addictive.
Well, those suckers are out there because they do have a place, correct, in smoking cessation with somebody trying to quit smoking, can they be an effective product for that application?
In all honesty, I'm going to say some people are able to use it, but vaping is not an FDA approved method. And one thing that I like to tell people when they say, oh, well, I stopped smoking and I started vaping. And I'm like, okay, you just exchanged one nicotine product for another, basically. But in all honesty, some people have been able to quit that way. But there's no protocol. So when I say FDA approved products, there are 7 products on the market. And I must give a shout out to Delaware because we are the only state that a person can get access to any and all 7 of those products when they sign up for a Quitline program. And we'll probably talk about that later. But those products are designed to wean people off of nicotine over the course of the 8-week program that we have. So they start out with maybe 2 milliliters, and by the 8 weeks, they're down to 0.25. You don't have that kind of protocol when it comes to vaping. A person is really doing trial and error. And many people end up actually vaping as well as smoking. They'll vape in public because it's not offensive in terms of the smell and everything. And then they'll smoke cigarettes at home. So that's even a worse problem.
So we've got people doing both.
That's correct.
And gosh, we don't even have the dissolvables yet in Delaware.
Yeah, but they're on the market. They are on the market, absolutely.
Yeah, if you can swim or cross that bridge, there they are. Yeah. So but now let's get back into it, though, why the state would be so darned interested in this, because tobacco and nicotine products is the number one underlying cause of death in Delaware.
Yeah, it's absolutely true. And we often say it's preventable. Fortunately, you know, some people experiment with smoking. Some people are actually social smokers, where if they have friends who smoke and they go out for an evening or whatever, they might do it every now and then. But for those people who are addicted, that's quite a different situation and a different problem.
So are we smoking and are we using more nicotine than we were before?
Well, the pandemic sort of shut everything down, especially data collection. But we do know we did manage to collect some data in 2021. And believe it or not, thanks to COVID, actually all numbers went down for smoking and vaping because accessibility wasn't quite it. Things weren't as accessible, especially for young people. So all of that went down. And then again, because we also saw T21 with respect to accessibility for youth, that also improved the rates for going down. So right now we're still tabulating 2021 data. But we do suspect that there will be some kind of rebound for both smoking and vaping among the 18 to 24 year olds and among teens, since they're back in school now.
I just alluded to dissolvables, which I had never heard of until I was preparing for our meeting today. What are the products that are out there that contain nicotine? I confess, and you said that you'd started at the age of 14. I have in my entire life possibly touched a cigar 5 times, and it wasn't even my whole cigar. So I am a virgin to these products. I'm not aware of the advertising. So those subtle, I'm missing it. And I'm going to suspect that a lot of parents or a lot of non-smokers don't realize just how many things are out there.
There's actually at least 11 different types of product, nicotine products. There are cigarettes, of course, the manufactured ones, some with filter, some without. There are cigars and cigars, little cigars and cigarillos are a category which are very popular now, and mostly because they are flavored. All of the cigar products can be flavored. Cigarettes only come in one flavor, and that's menthol. And I'll share a little bit about that later on, probably. Then there are pipes still. There's hookah, which people think, you know, doesn't have any tobacco in it. And we have hookah bars all over the place now. There's e-cigarettes, which is the vaping. There's also heated tobacco products. That is a product that's very popular overseas and hasn't quite gotten a foothold yet in Delaware or in many states. The last that I heard, it was maybe being sold in about 3 or 4 states. It's a little different in terms of the heating from e-cigarettes, which is why they call them heated products, but they also contain nicotine. There's smokeless tobacco, which people think is safe, but it contains 28 different carcinogens. So chewless tobacco is still dangerous. There's the dissolvables. There's also pouches that are available throughout the state. And there's one more product, which is eluding my brain. I'm not even, I lost count as to whether how many I actually shared with you, but there's quite a landscape of tobacco products that most people are not aware of. And nicotine is addictive and dangerous in all of its forms.
Are people switching between the products and the false belief that, hey, I used to smoke two packs a day, but darn it, now I am down to one box of cigars?
Absolutely. And when I first got this position 4 years ago, I was in a state service center where people can access emergency services, food stamps, you know, help with electricity and rent, that type of thing. Young lady came to my table and said, oh, I gave up cigarettes. And I started clapping. I'm like, yeah. She says, now I do cigars. And I'm like, huh? And she says, yeah, because smoking one cigar is like smoking 10 cigarettes. And it stunned me. And I said, really? She said, yeah. Besides that, I can get two cigars for 99 cents. A pack of cigarettes is $7. And so I said, I better go back and do some research. And sure enough, she was right. So a lot of people think, you know, have switched. And I do talk to people. When I find out someone smokes, I actually ask them what products they use, product or products. And a lot of people say they've switched from cigarettes to cigars because they thought they were healthier and they were smoking less. But they had one man told me, I smoke four cigars a day. I'm like, that's like two packs of cigarettes. He's like, what? You're kidding. I'm like, why would I do that? This is my job. So yeah, people do do more than one product. And young people, very often, I used to, prior to COVID, I used to give kids a survey. And not just kids, but anyone, a survey when I did outreach. And I would ask them, you know, which of these products have you done in the past 30 days? And in my reports, which I do on a biweekly basis, I would be able to report that I talked to five people out of 25 who do four of the different products. So people do switch around and use more than one.
It's tailoring it to the situation.
Yes. Yeah. And then people who smoke cigars, the other thing I like for them to be aware of is that you've got tobacco that is wrapped in tobacco. Whereas, yeah. And they're like, oh, yeah. And then people say, well, I don't smoke cigars. I just use them to roll my blunt. I'm like, but you're still smoking nicotine because the blunt is tobacco leaf. And you're not taking out all of, well, most of the time, they're not taking out all of the tobacco, just some of it, you know. So even people who think they don't smoke do smoke.
I am the product. My father smoked cigars like someone else would smoke cigarettes. And he would literally smoke a box of cigars within 2 days.
Wow.
So on the one hand, at school for cigar projects where you needed a cigar box for a diorama or something like that, the teachers always knew to ask me to provide cigar boxes for the classroom products.
And then hopefully he wasn't smoking it in the house.
Oh,
that's
yes.
The other problem with secondhand smoke. I've had people from Head Start contact me and say, can you come do a presentation with parents? Because the kids, their clothing and their book bags are just, you know, they just reek of cigarette smoke.
That was the only time teachers ever got really close to me when they knew they needed cigar boxes. I smell terrible. I know that. Looking back, and I think about surprised looks on parents' faces when they were around me. I smelled like an ashtray. And I always think, wow, he quit when he got a spot on his lung. But who knows what's going to happen to me in the long run? And let's talk a little bit about the dangers of smoke, because it isn't just for the person who is smoking. And you mentioned something that I hadn't thought about, the aerosols off of some of these vape products.
Absolutely. And one of the things, since these days, I don't know what people's habits are. It depends on what kind of venue I'm in when I do it, my education or talk to people. But very often when I'm able to do a presentation or I talk to someone who is a vapor, I will ask them to please do not vape around people who are non-vapers, because everything that they exhale into the air, the person in the room who's not vaping is vulnerable. And since you can't, when if someone is vaping, the only thing you would smell as a non-smoker or vapor would be the flavor that they're vaping. And so they're thinking, okay, well, I'm just, you know, freshening up the air, but you're actually exposing someone same as you would if you were smoking a cigarette. There's 7,000 chemicals in cigarettes in terms of the secondhand smoke. And then vaping, while I can't tell you how many chemicals are in it because it depends on who's making it, but there can be at least 60 different chemical compounds, including formaldehyde, nail polish remover, paint thinner. There's all kinds of carcinogens and terrible chemicals in vape, and it's not the water that we thought it was. Not to mention the fact that vape juices, or e-cigarette juice, as they're called, are very toxic. They're toxic if a person touches them, a person swallows them, or breathes them in. And so people really need to be more careful. You know, just like we tell people, you know, don't smoke around other people. Please don't vape around people or other people who are not vaping.
Most people think about lung cancer, but we've talked about snuff a couple of times, or the tobacco, the chewing tobaccos, the non-smoking tobaccos. I escape lung cancer, but then you get tongue or gum cancer, you know?
Actually, when it comes to smoking, 90% of lung cancer is attributed to smoking. But what people don't realize, there are at least 11 different types of cancers that can be caused by smoking, including esophageal, pancreatic, colon, cancer of the stomach, kidney, the bladder, some leukemias, the voice box, the throat, and the lips. All of those cancers are attributed to smoking. And most people only think about lung cancer, not to mention the fact cardiovascular disease that is caused by smoking. And someone who, for example, people who smoke cigars say, well, I don't inhale. You can still get cancer even if you don't inhale.
And it also exacerbates any other conditions you may have.
Any health condition. So if you have diabetes, if you have cancer, if you have high blood pressure, anything you have, it really makes that condition worse, totally worse, because the nicotine gets into every cell in the body and now, people don't realize it.
Is that enough to scare people into not taking tobacco products? How do you get somebody to quit? It's pleasurable, you know?
It is. I mean, even though it's been 4.5 years since I had my last cigarette, I started smoking in the 70s when I was a teenager. And that was right about the time they came up with Virginia Slims. Keep in mind, the tobacco company is very savvy and they do their homework to the 10th degree. And so, for example, and I'm wondering when you ask me about smoking rates decreasing. About 3 years ago, the tobacco company was spending $41 million, that's with an M, dollars just in the state of Delaware to advertise their products. Just over the past year, I guess, they've cut it back to $39 million. They dropped $2 million. And very often I tell people when I'm doing a presentation, which is why I ask them to help me, you know, share this information that they're learning, is because my department maybe has $2 million to work with to promote prevention while we are working with a group of companies that have $39 million to work with in our state. So there's a little disparity there in terms of financing. But they do a very good job and they target very specific populations, which we find we have to do. There's African-American, there's, you know, Spanish, there's the gay, lesbian, bisexual community. I mean, they are really targeted. There's women. So I started at 14. I smoked for 28 years. I quit for 18 and was hanging out with a friend who smoked one evening and asked him for a cigarette, really expecting him to say, girl, I ain't gonna give you no cigarettes. You don't smoke, because he didn't know me as a smoker. He gave me a cigarette and I'm enjoying a little rum and coke with that. And then 4 months later, I'm in a store buying a pack. And it just took me, I mean, I could not believe how quickly I redeveloped the taste of enjoyment for cigarettes. Fortunately, I got this job. And within a month, I said, I can't go out in the community and promote the quit line and talk about the dangers and stuff if I'm puffing myself. So I immediately was able to quit. Keep in mind, only 5% of people who smoke are able to quit cold turkey. And I didn't do it cold turkey. So let me at least admit to that. But in terms of quitting, it has to be something that a person is ready to do. I often tell people who are sort of sitting on the fence, they think they want to quit. And some people want to quit some days and then they don't want to quit the next day. And so I said, okay, you know, for me, having done it twice, figure out what your why is. Try to get something to ground you. Just like when you find that one person and you marry them, they're supposed to be the only person you're with for the rest of your life. Supposed to be. That doesn't always happen. But, you know, get yourself a why. My why was it was costing too much. When I quit the first time, I said, when cigarettes go up to $2, I've got to quit because I can't pay that much to get cancer. I knew that they cause cancer. And I'm like, you know, that's my own stuff if that happens. So when they went up to $2, I had been studying how I was going to quit. And that's what I did was, and this was back in 98 before we had a quit line here in Delaware. And I went through hypnosis and I said, okay, the next thing is, what am I going to do with all that money I'm saving? And I said, oh, I'm going to go get my nails done. Instead of me trying to do my nails all the time, I'm going to spend that cigarette money and sit and let somebody else do it while I get a massage in the chair. And so the price, for the most part, has kept me grounded. And when I went back to smoking, I knew I was going to quit again. I knew it wasn't going to, you know, it wasn't going to be forever. And so my job ended up being my reason to ground me into quitting. And I still get my nails done. So I usually tell people that. But fortunately, most people can sign up and enroll in the Quitline program, which is awesome in Delaware. And the program provides two wonderful things. One, they get an 8-week supply for free of any of the 7 FDA approved products that I mentioned earlier. Most people are familiar with gum, the lozenges, and maybe the patch, but there's 2 nasal products, and then there are 2 pills. One is Xantex and one is Chantix, which most people have seen some advertising on TV. They can even get a combination of products. But more importantly, they're going to get a coach, a professional coach or counselor. So they're not doing the program alone. It's not like the doctor says, here's a prescription, go get some, you know, whatever, you know, and good luck with you. They have someone who's going to be supportive, empathetic, help them set a date to quit, prepare for quitting because it's a lifestyle change, and then support them during the quitting process. And we make it really convenient because people can do the whole program on the phone. They don't even have to go anywhere. And that was actually before COVID. Our program, you can meet your coach face to face, but you can also do the whole program over the telephone.
Now you go out into the community and and you got to stand there and say, yeah, I'm a reformed smoker. I'm a quitter twice. And how do you get people to sign up? How do you get them from picking up a cigarette the first time around or a vape product?
Well, if they, fortunately, my job does not rely on people quitting. Otherwise, I'd probably be unemployed. So I generally find it my job to try to move the needle. In behavioral health sciences, there's something called the theory of change. And there's like 6 stages, I believe, to this theory of change. People are either pre-contemplative, where they have no clue, no desire to quit or change any behavior. And then you move them to contemplation. They're like, after what I just heard from you, maybe I'll give that some thought. And then contemplation leads into making a plan and so forth and so on. So when I meet people, I try to figure out where they are in that continuum. And then I try to move the needle to the next level. And I'll tell people, especially if they're non-smokers, but they live with a smoker, be patient with the person. I said, but let me tell you this. I'm going to give you a lot of stuff. I have great giveaways. And I do my best to give people useful things. I got all kinds of cell phone accessories and stress balls and bags and backpacks and ink pens and stuff. I said, if you hear this person say that they are ready to quit, grab one of these items I'm giving you. And I'm giving you about 8 different items with the phone number for the quit line. I said, grab an item and grab the phone. Because when people are in their addiction, you have to get them when they're ready. You can't wait till tomorrow, because tomorrow, whatever was stressing them out, or, you know, whatever, you know, they were thinking about, they're in another place. Get them when they're, you know, when they're ready. And I also tell people who smoke all the benefits I just shared with you about a quit line. But then I also tell them, don't call us until you're ready. And they look at me like, what did you just say? And I'm like, because number one, our resources are valuable. But number two, the only thing we require when you sign up or enroll in our program is you have to be ready to quit within 30 days. So if you call us November 1st, December 1st will be your first day to quit. But keep in mind, you can quit before the 30 days, but keep in mind, you will start using the nicotine replacement products. So you don't have to go through the stress of craving. That's one of the problems with someone trying to quit cold turkey, is they're used to having that nicotine, that chemical, that drug. And so just like anyone who goes into withdrawal from cocaine or heroin, they go through withdrawal. So our products are going to start to wean you off and satisfy that craving, while your counselor is going to help you figure out the triggers that keep you smoking, but more importantly, help you figure out alternatives to handling the cravings and the stress, which is what keeps people smoking. But you have to be ready in 30 days. Don't call us up until you're ready, because then you're wasting our resources.
So when somebody decides December 1st is the day I'm going to not pick up a cigarette, I'm not going to take out the lighter on that particular day, they've already taken some medication. They've had some of this FDA-approved product material that's going to make sure that they are not going to go through withdrawal.
Correct, correct. Oh. And they have the coach who's available by phone, not to necessarily say talk them off the ledge, because it's not kind of that kind of drug, but at least to talk them down or help them remember. I often tell people when I have the opportunity that when I get the urge to smoke, because every now and then I'll eat or drink something, or I'll see somebody smoking in their car. And I don't know why that makes me go back and think, oh, that cigarette looks good, but it does. I get a straw, I cut it in half, and I smoke it as if I was smoking a cigarette. And for all the people who say, oh, I need a cigarette because I'm stressed out, I've come to the conclusion, and one of these days I'm going to have to see if there's any research behind it. So this isn't anecdotal, but I feel like part of the reason people think that the smoking helps them with stress is because of the deep breathing. Whenever you get mad, somebody says, oh, take a deep breath before you say anything, right? So the same is true with smoking. You're deep breathing all the time. Now you're breathing in 4,000-7,000 chemicals, but you're deep breathing. So I said, get a straw. It's calorie free. It's nicotine free. It's sugar free. And if you go to McDonald's, it's free.
Yeah. Now, these programs are for adults or youth, or at what age can you get help from the state?
Great question. Our quit line, the counseling or coaching is available for anyone 13 and older. If you're 18 and older, then you qualify or you're eligible to get the nicotine replacement products as well as the coaching. We also now have a new program just out over the past year called Live Vape Free, which is a texting program specifically targeting people between the ages of 16 and 30. And so we make that's sort of a new service. And then we also have a mental health component for anyone who's been diagnosed with a mental health issue. They can actually sign up for a 12-week program, which would give them more mental health support, as well as a longer period of time of taking the nicotine replacement products.
Is there something that might trigger the desire to quit?
That's an excellent question. And I would look at it as almost being a target. It's like, okay, you have to get yourself ready. And sometimes you may have to give up a few friends. If most of your friends smoke, you may have to keep your distance from them or, you know, change how you socialize with them. But yes, there's a couple of dates that I want people to keep in mind. One of them is coming up. The Great American Smokeout is probably the most popular date that people hear about to not smoke. It is the third Thursday in November. And this year, the date will be November 17th. Then there's also National No Smoking Day. And in 2023, the date will be March the 8th. And then another date for people to consider that I've been really trying to increase awareness about is No Menthol Sunday. Mentholated cigarettes have been targeted by the tobacco company specifically to minorities and especially African Americans. And it makes smoking twice as hard to quit because menthol is a cooling product. And I think when I think back when I started smoking, I started with Cools. And that's one of the strongest cigarettes you could ever have. But there's something cooling and soothing about menthol. And people think actually that mentholated cigarettes are healthier because they equate it with Vicks. You know, that product mm-hmm. that you put on your chest, you know, it's to improve your breathing. It's mentholated and it's supposed to help you. Yeah, no, that doesn't work that way when it comes to cigarettes. So mentholated cigarettes actually make it easier to start and harder to quit. And they are actually targeted more to the African-American community. We have 45,000 African-Americans that die every year just from smoking. And so there is an initiative called No Menthol Sunday. It is the third Sunday in May. And in 2023, the date is May 21st. So with all of those dates, I'd like people who do smoke to consider just one day. And you know, with anything, that any behavior you're trying to change, take it one day at a time. So try to give it one day to quit. And then if you're successful at that, then try the next day. There are lots of resources out here. Our website is healthydelaware.org. We have a whole lot of information, not only on smoking and all of the different smoking products, but vaping as well. We have a website called Vape Free Delaware, and that's for the first time, that's DE. So that's vapefreede.org. And that's an excellent resource, especially for professionals as well as youth, to get good information on vaping, the risks associated with it, and other resources available. There are federal resources from the CDC that people can access. And American Lung has a group workshop called Freedom from Smoking, where a person can not only take the Quit Line program, but also sign up for group things. American Lung also has a program called KNOT, which is targeting middle and high school students. That's a cessation program. So there are lots of programs out there. But the first step is you have to want to quit. It's like you have to want to lose weight or have to want to stop whatever it is you're doing that you know is unhealthy or risky. The first step is wanting to do it. And then the rest of it is just hooking up the right resource that will work for you.
Now, we are actually out of time. If someone wants to get you to one of their community groups or get into a school, how do they do that?
I would suggest that they contact me by text and or email me. My cell phone is 302-345-8744. My email address is A-L-Y-S-O-N, my first name, .Lang, L-A-N-G, at Delaware.gov. And the word Delaware is spelled out. So it's allison.lang@delaware.gov.
Reach out, find out more information at healthydelaware.org, or you can also go to vapefreede.com. Text her at 302-345-8744. I'll put that on the podcast at wjbr.com. But again, healthydelaware.org. My guest today, Allison Lang, trainer and educator with the Tobacco Prevention and Control Program, part of the Office of Public Health with the Delaware Department of Health and Social Services. Thank you, Allison. This has been fun and informative and scary.
Thank you so much for having me.
We'll do it again around Menthol-Free Sunday. How's that?
That would be awesome.
I'm looking forward to that one. I'm Laura Lewis. This has been Focus on the Delaware Valley.